In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. I'm reading from the first book of Maccabees. This is just before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is very important because today we begin Hanukkah. And this is what the Word of God says. This is a part of the Word of God for Catholics, not for Protestants. But at least it's historical, and we know it's the Word of God. Listen. There grew a sinful offshoot, Antiochus Epiphanes IV. He was the son of King Antiochus, once a hostage in Rome. He became king in the 137th year of the kingdom of the Greeks. It was then that there emerged from Israel a set of renegades who led many people astray. Come, these renegades said, let us reach an understanding with the pagans. Yeah, let us reach an understanding with the pagans. Does that sound familiar? Let us compromise, you know. Let us reach an understanding with the pagans surrounding us. For since we separated ourselves from them, many misfortunes have taken over. Oh yeah, since we have separated ourselves from the pagans, we've been persecuted, yeah. So what shall we do? Let's compromise. This proposal proved acceptable, and the number of the Jewish people eagerly approached the king, who authorized them to practice the pagan observances. So they built gymnasia in Jerusalem. Oh yeah, gymnasia. Yeah, the Goldman, we'll call it Goldman Gymnasia, you know, Jewish gymnasia, such as the pagans have. They took off their mark of circumcision. They abandoned the holy covenant. They submitted to the heathen rule as willing slaves of unholiness. Oh yes, I tell you, when persecution comes, one of two things happens. You either compromise or you either fight against it and you shine as lights in a crooked and perverse generation. What did most of the Jewish people want to do? They said, we don't want to be different. We want to be like everybody else. And you know what? We'll even take off the mark of circumcision. This was the covenant mark that literally bonded the God of Israel to the Jews. This is the mark that Abraham and his children would wear as a sign of the covenant. So what do the Jews do? They want to be like everybody else. Oh, my friends, I tell you, does it sound familiar? We want to be like everybody else. Oh, we don't want to come on too strong. We don't want to speak the truth because we might offend people. Oh, yes, I think we should stop the buses from going to Planned Parenthood because, you know what, we might get in trouble. I know they're killing children there, but, you know, we cannot have anything organized, and we can't even pray because, you know, it's kind of like, you know, who's going to have an abortion, and that's 60 million children later, and only God knows how many children have been killed, through birth control and abortifacients. Let me just tell you this. I'm going to tell you this, okay? You might not believe it, but I Googled yesterday, a four-year-old child sees Jesus. This little boy, it was on Fox News, this little boy was having an appendectomy. His appendix had burst 5 days before. He was filled with poison, and the little boy went to heaven. Let me also tell you this. Weeks later, he said to his mother, I have two sisters. His mother said, what do you mean? One of the sisters told me she died in your tummy. The interviewer said, "Did you see Jesus?" He said, "Yes." And he said, she said, "What did Jesus look like?" You know what he said? "When Jesus smiled, it lit up the heavens." It's very scriptural. He's the Lamb is the light in the city of God. When Jesus smiled, it lit up the heavens. We have killed 60 million children. And we are so compromised. We have so compromised. You see what happened? You see, history repeats itself when God's people do not stand up for the reality and truth of the faith. When God's people do not uphold the power of the cross. When God's people say, "We will not live like everybody else." This happened just before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hundreds of years, maybe 200 years before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The men wanted to be like everybody else. And so they took off the mark of circumcisions. And they built gymnasia in Jerusalem. And they used to run around in their birthday suits, okay? And such as the pagans have, they disguised their mark of circumcision and abandoned the Holy Covenant, submitting to the heathen rule as willing slaves. Then the king issued a proclamation to his whole kingdom that all were to become a single people. One world order, okay? Each renouncing his particular customs. And all the pagans conformed to the king's decree. And many Israelites chose to accept the king's religion, sacrificing to idols and profaning the Sabbath. On the 15th day of Chislev in the year 145, the king erected the abomination of desolation above the altar. That is, that he sacrificed a pig in the Holy of Holies. And the altars were built in the surrounding towns of Judah, and incense were offered at the doors of houses and in the streets. Any books of the law that came to light were torn up and burned. That's sad. And whenever anyone was discovered possessing a copy of the covenant or practicing the law, the king's decree sentenced him to death. I told you that when compromise happens in the faith, one of two things happen. People either compromise, they water down the faith, they join in with pagans, and then there's the second group of people. Yet there were many in Israel who stood firm and found the courage. Let's use that word, courage. How many men have courage today? You know, I was watching The Wizard of Oz the other night. And you know, I want to tell you, courage is one of the things that is lacking in the churches. Courage to speak out. Courage to say no more. Courage to proclaim the word of God. Courage to proclaim the blood of the Lamb. Courage to say, "We will not bow down to Caesar that kills our children and pay our taxes. We will not bow down to Caesar who killed our children with our money." Courage for people today. You know, this is the perfect time for all the priests and ministers and bishops to say to the world, "We've killed 60 million children. That's why we're in a depression. That's why, because we've been making 60 million shoes and 60 million boots and 60 million hats and 60 million gloves, and we'd have these things on our own shore. But no, we have eliminated so many million and million and million of people." That's right. But who speaks like that? Who has the courage to say, "We have joined with the world. We have joined with the world." As I said, our faith has become like my mother's soup, watered down. My mother's lemonade, watered down. It doesn't even look like the faith of the apostles. It doesn't even look like what Jesus died for, what Jesus rose from the dead for. Yet there were many in Israel who stood firm and found the courage. Courage! You know the lion saying, "Courage! Courage!" to refuse unclean food. The courage. They had the courage. They would not eat pork. They would not sacrifice to idols. They were the people that God had reserved for himself that would not abandon the law of Moses. They found something worth living for and something worth dying for. Their temple was desecrated by Antiochus Epiphanes IV. But they were not going to give in. Though most of the Jews gave in, they took off the marks, the circumcision. They wanted to be like everybody else. Let me tell you, we were never meant to be like everybody else. We were meant to shine like stars in this crooked and perverse generation. Even though we're as weak as we can be, even though we're broken, even though our hearts are broken, we're called to be the soldiers of the Lord who stand up for the cross of Jesus Christ and who will proclaim Jesus and who will proclaim the truth. No more! Will you kill our children? But who do we have in front of the abortion mills? These beautiful ladies, these beautiful people that are there saying we can help you. Who do we have saying no more? My Lord, courage is lacking in the church. Courage is lacking in the church. You know, we're just going to get along. You can't get along with the devil. You can't get along with compromise. Many years ago, a young seminarian came to me. He's now a priest, and he was in the seminary. His name is John, and he said to me, what advice would you give me while I'm in the seminary? And I looked straight in his eyeballs and said, don't compromise, because when you compromise an inch, you're compromising with the devil. He doesn't want the inch, he wants the whole ball game. The whole nine yards. Compromise. Yet there were many in Israel who stood firm and found the courage to refuse unclean food. They chose death rather than contamination by such fear of profanation of the Holy Covenant. And they were executed. It was a dreadful wrath that visited Israel. Oh, they found someone worth living for and someone worth dying for. They were not afraid. They gave their life. Let me just read now about one of these people. Eleazar, one of the foremost teachers of the law, a man already advanced in years and of most noble appearance, was being forced to open his mouth and swallow pig's flesh. But he resolved to die with honor rather than to live disgraced. Isn't that something? He resolved to die with honor rather than to live disgraced. He was not going to compromise. He's an old man. He's not going to eat pork. He's not going to break the covenant. He's going to live for God, even if it means death. But he, resolving to die with honor rather than to live disgraced, went to the block of his own accord, spitting the stuff out. The plain duty of anyone with courage to reject what it is not lawful to taste, even from a natural tenderness for his own life. Those in charge of the impious banquet, because of their long-standing friendship with him, they loved him, took him aside privately and urged Eleazar to have meat brought of a kind that he could probably eat, like a piece of beef, but will pretend it's pork, prepared by himself and only pretend to eat the portions of sacrificial meat as prescribed by the king. This action would enable Eleazar to escape death by availing himself of an act of kindness prompted by the long friendship of these people. But having taken a noble decision worthy of his years and of his dignity and of his great age, and all the well-earned distinction of his gray hairs, worthy too of his impeccable conduct from boyhood, and above all his holy legislation established by God himself, he publicly stated his convictions, telling them to send him at once to death. Such pretense, he said, does not square with our life and our time of life. Many young people would suppose that Eleazar, at the age of 90, had conformed to the foreigner's way of life. Yeah, they would give him a piece of beef, but they would pretend it was pork, and then he would disgrace the young people who were standing up for the Lord, the young people who were standing up for the covenant, the young people that would not compromise. And because I had played this part for the sake of paltry, brief spell of life, might themselves be led astray on my account, I should only bring defilement and disgrace on my old age. Even I can never, living or dead, elude the grasp of the Almighty. Therefore, if I am man enough to quit this life here and now, I shall prove myself worthy of my old age, and I shall have left the young a noble example of how to make a good death, eagerly and generously, for the venerable and the holy laws. With these words, he went straight to the gallows. His escorts, so recently well disposed toward him, turned against him after his declaration, which they regarded as sheer madness. You're mad. Why don't you eat the meat that's not even pork and pretend that it's pork? You're crazy. What do you do? But Eleazar realized that there was someone worth living for and someone worth dying for. That compromise meant nothing. To compromise meant death. Just before he died under the blows, he groaned aloud and said, "The Lord, whose knowledge is holy, sees clearly that though I might have escaped death, whatever agonies of body I now endure under this bludgeoning in my soul, I am glad to suffer because of the awe which he inspires in me." And this is how he died, leaving his death as an example of nobility and a record of virtue, not only for the young, but for the great majority of the nation. My friends, where are these kind of people? Where are the people who would stand up for the faith and even die for the faith? We have watered down the faith so much. We have watered down the faith so much. I was told just yesterday of someone who used to be in the seminary, went to visit a priest who's now ordained. The first person is not in the seminary anymore. He's married. The priest he went to visit is so liberal, pro-homosexual, pro-abortion. The young man who was with him in the seminary didn't even know him anymore. Oh, I tell you, compromise. You start with an inch and you finish up with your life. Because men don't have courage anymore. Men don't have courage to say no more. I tell you, we don't have men anymore. We have wimps. We have wimps that do not speak out when we can speak out. We still have the ability to speak out and to say no more. We have compromised enough and we have sinned. Compromise is sin. Eleazar, because of a pork chop, died. How many of us put our lives on the line when it comes to issues that are real, like the spreading of the gospel, like the proclamation of the cross? How many of us give to the missions, you know, so that what I can't do, other people will be able to do? You know, how many of us stand in the gap and say, you know what, I might not be perfect. As a matter of fact, I'm a great sinner. But I'm going to live for Jesus the best way I can. And I'm not compromising. I'm not compromising. I'm not compromising. Compromise is the work of the devil. Because when you give in one inch, ultimately he wants the whole. And the Bible tells us in the 24th chapter of Matthew that because lawlessness and sin has increased, the love of many has grown cold. The love of many has grown cold. Let me tell you, the only kinds of people that have changed the church and the society, they're called saints. And they had courage. They had courage. I don't know where I find courage today. I don't know where I see courage today. I saw it with the lion the other night on The Wizard of Oz. He wanted courage. But at least he knew he needed courage. I wonder how many people know they need courage. Courage to speak. Courage to stand in the gap. Courage to stand against Satan and evil and the demonic. Courage. And yet, where is courage? Where is courage? I'll tell you who had courage. Cardinal Cushing had courage. He had courage. Whatever you might think about Cardinal Cushing, courage! He spoke out. People said, well, it was a different time. Yeah, it was a different time. But he spoke out, and he said what he had to say. And they listened. Courage! Who has courage today? Who has courage today? To draw a line in the sand and say no more. You're on one side or the other side. Who has courage today? It's all diplomacy. It's all diplomacy. It's all compromise. That's why our churches are closing. That's why our people don't know Jesus. That's why they don't know the Word of God. That's why, you know, I don't understand the proclamation of the Word of God. I've been a priest for 31 years, okay? If I don't know anything else, I've been proclaiming the Word of God for over 31 years. And I'm not telling you I'm a master of the Word of God. I'm still a student. But I know how to proclaim the Word of God. I know how to proclaim the cross of Jesus Christ. I know how to proclaim to people that you stand on one side of the aisle or the other. You stand on one side of the line or the other. That the compromise will only lead to death. I know how to proclaim that. And you know what? People don't like it, but you know what? I'm going to tell it anyway, because if I don't tell it, you want to know what? I'll go to hell. I'll go to hell. You be either for me or against me, Jesus said. We cannot play games with the world. The world, as we know it, St. Paul says, is passing away. But it has had such a grip on all the churches. Compromise. If I speak these hard words, maybe I won't get the money to keep my radio program going. So what? If God cannot keep this radio ministry on the road, it deserves to close. Do you understand? If I'm going to compromise, it deserves to close. Close it down. Because it's another wimp ministry that doesn't proclaim the truth, that doesn't say what's real. Eleazar died because he wouldn't eat a pork chop. We do not stand up for Jesus Christ. We do not stand up for his cross. We do not stand up for forgiveness of priests. We do not stand up for the unborn. We do not stand up. We do not stand up. We do not stand up. We're all so silent. We're all so silent. We're all so silent. Courage is what's needed. Courage. We all need to watch The Wizard of Oz and realize that we're all a bunch of wimps with no courage. Because we might not be liked. We just might not be liked. The world hates us anyway. Listen, today, between 1 and 3, we're going to have worship at the Holy Rosary. Today is Wednesday. I am not in the espousal tonight. I am not at the espousal retreat house tonight. But today, between 1 and 3, we're going to have worship at the Holy Rosary. At 3 o'clock, I have a surprise mass. You're welcome to come at 3 o'clock, surprise mass. That's at the Holy Rosary in Winthrop. And if people need to be prayed over, we'll pray over them. You know what I'm saying? Courage. Courage. It's all about courage. And I'm looking for people with courage. Jesus had courage. Eliezer had courage. Paul had courage. Peter had courage. Who is the man and woman that has courage today? Not many. Not many. We got wimps. Wimps. That's all we have are wimps. Little sweet wimps. And I'm the least macho person in the world, but I'm going to tell you, I've got courage. At least a little. At least a little. So today between 1 and 3, you're welcome to come to the Holy Rosary, 3 o'clock surprise mass. If people need Jimmy the Roofer, 617-519-0341, 617-519-0341. He also does shingling, 617-519-0341, 617-519-0341. You know what? Let's pray for courage. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want courage. I want courage, I want courage, I want courage, and I want love. Love, faith, and courage. In Jesus' name, God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.